they were going to when we studied it, but...
This is tape two, side B. When the tape stopped, we were talking about APL, and you had studied a summer, studied APL language. And what happened?
They never used it. They changed their minds. I'm not quite sure what they chose to do instead. Perhaps it was Pascal. They went to that at one time.
But it seemed like you changed languages almost every semester or every quarter.
No, not that often.
Yeah. What were some of the other early computer languages that you learned? Oh, okay.
Well, he has a series of questions on your philosophy of teaching and views of students. Did you see any changes in the students during your tenure as a professor at Michigan State? Well, what did you like most about teaching?
At one time, computers became the thing to study because there were jobs in them. So a lot of people who were not truly interested only in getting the jobs came over to study computer science, and they weren't very good. It was obvious, the difference, from the time when they came just because they wanted to know it.
This was in the late 60s or early 70s?
It must have been on in the 60s or early 70s, I don't know which.
And you told me about one semester where they decided that they could take a computer language and...
Oh, yes, that was a funny one. For the graduate students, they had to have languages to get a PhD. And some of them found language very hard. But they had decided that if you took a computer language, that would be easier. So they came over, these graduate students, and I only had about two of them come, and they thought it would be easier to take this than to study a language.
Like French or German.
Yeah. And instead, they didn't even have a proper math background for it. They didn't think in a mathematical way. And it was with great difficulty, I gave them the minimum grade they would need to get credit for it. In fact, maybe it was just a gift. I felt so sorry for them. But then word got around, don't do this.
It was easier to take French or German.
Yeah. They could write a program and make it run. Mm-hmm.
Did you see any changes from the feminist movement? Was there any influx of women after a certain point into the math and sciences, or did it stay about the same? Or?
Well, I remember that there was a certain influx of women when that was the way they thought led to a job.
Yeah. And did it ever equal out, or what did it put... What kind of growth did you see in that? I mean, a pattern of growth from how few women were there in the beginning to what percent would you guess there were at the end of your teaching?
I don't know.
Yeah. And I know another thing that you've mentioned in the past is the economics of computer science, where there was a point where it was a person with an undergraduate degree in economics could make more money than a person with a graduate degree. It was hard to get people to go on and teach computer science because they could go out in the industrial world and make money. That wasn't a question, I'm sorry. that was a statement.
Do you remember, was there any single thing that you enjoyed about teaching?
Not really.
Oh. Actually, as a daughter, I can say one thing. When I was going through high school and taking math classes, I never bothered to study because the night before the test, she could communicate with me so completely that I understood exactly what I needed to do for the test the next day.
she was a great teacher. A's in geometry without ever studying much.
But it was like instantaneous communication. But I don't know if that was because she was my mother or not.
Yeah. No.
Well, the ability of a teacher to make things, something's complex, understandable, seems to be sounds like a skill that you have.
Well, we sort of thought alike with things. Mm-hmm.
And another thing as a daughter I can remember is there was always a line of students to see her, and she spent an incredible amount of time with each student.
Yes. I liked teaching programming classes. And so they'd come in with their programs to see why they didn't run. And it's often harder to find a mistake in a program than to write a program.
Yeah, yeah. To troubleshoot the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had some graduate assistants, but they weren't too good at this.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel that did the students respect you as a female instructor?
Respect, I don't know, it's a funny word. Mm. But I can remember two occasions. Once I said something to one of my fellow teachers about they were always trying to sign up for my class. And I said to him, "I guess they sign up for my class because they think I'm an easy grader." And he said, "Oh no, you have a reputation of being a hard grader." Then I remember another class, and it was funny. I really liked it, and it was a good class. I can't remember quite what course it was in, not too elementary a one. And when they gave me, was it a Christmas card or something, that said, "To Grandma Holbrook." And it's amazing how much a little old lady knows about computing, and they'd all signed it.
Grandma Spence or Grandma Spence?
Grandma Spence.
Yeah.
Grandma Spence.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
And after.
So I didn't know how to take it. I knew they liked me as a student teacher, but I wasn't quite sure how to take the grammar part at that time. I was probably in my 60s, though.
What did you had done most of your work on computer, or mainframe computer. What did you think of the development of the personal computer?
I didn't particularly, well, the thing is, I was interested in assembly language.
Okay.
The personal computers didn't go very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think once they tried giving an assembly course on some of those, it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Did, in terms of the retirement, when did you ultimately retire from the university? From teaching?
Well, let's see, I have to look at this. That would be the end of winter term.
In 1976?
Something like that.
And how old were you then? How old were you?
61.
Wait, I thought you were 72 or something like that, and when you retired.
If 76 was the last term here,
and
87. I forgot this one.
87. Okay, all right. So
I was 15 from 87.
Yeah, 72.
72, okay. All right, so you taught after 1976, from 77 to 87, mm-hmm. 10 years. Uh-huh. Okay. Did you see at the...
The thing I remember that it doesn't seem to say here, was that I taught full-time until 87, but I thought I taught half-time for another term or year.
Mm-hmm. At the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you... did your husband retire about the same time, or did he?
Well, my husband was younger than I, and he also retired younger. I think he worked until 67 or 8, I think, when he retired. Let's see. When did he retire? Was it after we moved to this house?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We moved to this house in 67.
Well, it was much after that, because I was down in Louisiana when you did it, so...
When did you go to Louisiana?
Probably like 78 or 9. Is what I would have guessed, so.
In 78 or 9.
Mm-hmm. But I don't remember the year that he retired, but I do remember I was in Louisiana at that time. Mm-hmm.
But he was born in the...
17?
17. That says he retired at 61. I don't remember when he retired.
Okay.
I can't, of course, tell from here. Mm-hmm.
After your retirement, were you involved in any local activities here in town? Clubs or groups or?
Well, let's see. What I decided to take on as a retirement project was teaching English to foreigners. And so I went to some kind of a class or something. And then I got assigned a woman to help. And so she knew a little English, but not very good English. So I began going to see her once a week. But it quickly changed from teaching her English to helping her with all sorts of other things. She had, three children with her. Let's see, there was V, there was Lynn, and there was, what was the boy's name?
Keith. She was Vietnamese.
And she had a lot of difficulties. They brought these Vietnamese here. They'd given them some kind of financial support, found them some kind of housing, and then I was going to help her with languages. But she needed so many other kinds of help, it soon came to just helping her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still sort of friends. I've sort of lost touch with her, but I still see one of her daughters fairly regularly, because this particular daughter had special needs. She was very smart, but she had various health problems. Let's see, what were the various things she had? At one time she had hookworm, and what was the other thing? She had some heart problems. She got involved at one time in a terrible accident where a car had lost a wheel and hit these children who were gone out to collect mail.
Mm.
And it was on... Somebody, something that was really a legal holiday? Whose birthday?
I thought it was Martin Luther King, but, mm-hmm. but I thought it was Martin Luther King, but. But
anyway, and they were hit by a car, and it killed the baby of the oldest girl, and she wasn't in it because Lynn was babysitting, and with a friend, and it knocked Lynn into this tree, and next the oldest girl was only slightly injured because she somehow or other fell free of the tree and everything. And so after that, Lynn needed a great deal of help. They thought first she wouldn't walk again. Then they thought she'd never be able to read again, she'd never be able to think clearly again. And somehow or other she surmounted all of that. She was no longer able to do college work because her reading is slow, but she can do enough for other things.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And so she got a nice husband, and she got some kind of money as in damages from that. She has a nice house, and she has two nice children.
And she's extremely loyal to my mother.
But I spent a lot of time with her for a while. Her mother didn't drive, so I'd go with her to school events sometimes. Visiting parents and all, I'd go.
Well, that's very nice.
And my mother was part of a team of people that saw her through all the doctoring and lawyering and getting things set up so that other people couldn't take advantage of the money that resulted as the lawsuit.
Yeah. Very good. As you look back on your time at Michigan State, both as a undergraduate student many years ago and through the time as an instructor, is there anything that comes to mind that you remember as being most important?
Yes. When I was here as a student, it was the Depression. And everything was very, the students were as a whole very, very poor. There wasn't much of anything in the aid of scholarships aid for any of them. And they were mostly working and going to school, and things were very difficult. And if you went on a date, you probably would go over and have a Coca-Cola together or something like that. Or occasionally, if they had a little money, you would go to a movie, probably hitchhike downtown if you were going to a movie downtown. And I can remember having lunches with a favorite boyfriend. We'd have lunch together. He'd provide the lunch. He had some people, some friends, who worked on some of the college farms, and he'd bring things like a quart of cherries they'd picked. I don't know if they were supposed to keep them or not, but anyway, I never asked. And a bag of day-old rolls and a quart of milk you could get cheap from the dairy, and we'd have lunch. And when I came first as a college student, I had the cheapest room in the cheapest dorm, and I lived on campus for a year. And that was what was called the Women's Building in those days. It's now Morrill Hall, I think. Mm-hmm. And we had a room in the basement with six girls in it, and one fair-sized closet for all of us. We had a desk and a bed and a closet. It was no place to study, a six-girl room, so you had to keep hours, but up until you had to be in, you'd go other places to study, the library, or you'd find some quiet spot you could go to. Sometimes the People's Church had some open rooms you could go in and study. And then you had to be in by 10 o'clock, But by then, while the other girls were fixing their hair and getting ready for bed, I'd find a quiet parlor upstairs that I could go to and study. Mm-hmm. So, but the lack of money colored everything.
And that's changed quite a bit now.
Oh, it's changed a lot. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the project for your time and your insights. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Well, it was a pleasure.